Hello, and welcome to the Pixar Planet commentary of The Incredibles. I'm Michael, or the Star Swordsman, a.k.a. TSS on the Pixar Planet forums.
Hello, this is Rachel, also known as RachelCakes1985 on the Pixar Planet forums.
And this is David, also known as Totoro on the Pixar Planet forums.
And this is Peter, also known as QuicksNixamy. To synchronize this commentary with your DVD, pause the video where Luxo Jr. appears in the Pixar logo, and when I say play, click play. Okay. 3, 2, 1, play.
So everyone, what was your first viewing experience when The Incredibles first came out in theaters?
Well, I think I saw this for the first time in a press screening. This was on on the same day on which they showed this in the United States, I think, but in Germany, where we have usually someone sort of waiting before we finally can see it. But they already had the German version ready, which is kind of funny, and this was really good. They generally have a very good voice cast on the Pixar movies, which is not something you can say about most other films released in Germany, unfortunately.
How did you manage to go to a press screening of The Incredibles?
A friend of mine organized an animation festival in Cologne at the time, and he also is a freelance journalist, and so I could go to most of the press screenings he was invited to.
Oh, that's awesome. The first time I saw The Incredibles, it was playing on the Disney Channel in Australia, and I just watched it about a year or so before I became a real big Pixar fan and before Pixar really was picked up on my radar, but I just thought, oh, this is a good movie. I really like the music in this movie. And then it wasn't till a year or so later that I really bought the soundtrack and really understood who Pixar was.
I think I first saw the movie on a late Saturday night with my parents. This was the Pixar movie that I was most excited for out of all the Pixar movies that were released before this. And after I saw the movie, I loved it so much that I can't believe I'm admitting this, that I illegally torrented it on the internet and just watched it every single day. And, yeah. Yeah, I'm a bad boy.
I actually didn't see this one in theaters. I don't know why. But when the DVD came out, I watched it like every day for a month.
You guys are hardcore.
Yeah, you can say that.
Is it true, TSS, that you watch the movie every single day? I remember you telling me in a Skype chat that you watch it every day.
Okay, after the movie was released in theaters, I did watch it once a day because I had it on my computer. But after a while, it switched from once a day to once a week, and it's still going on once a week right now. And before the commentary, the last time I saw this movie was about, let's say, maybe a day ago to prepare for the commentary for, yeah.
Do you ever get sick of it?
No. I don't think I'm ever going to get sick of this.
I like Squeaker. There's not too many cats in Pixar films. That's why I like Squeaker.
I think our neighbors have a cat which looks just like that.
Squeaker kind of reminds me of Crookshanks from Harry Potter.
Oh. I like Buddy's eyes. The around the outside of his eyes and on his eyelids. It's just coloured in blue. With like texture instead of, like a Sharpie instead of Mr. Incredible, which is all melded to his eyes. It's just really funny.
When I first saw Elastigirl, I had to pick my jaw off the floor and wipe the drool off my face. My lord, she was pretty.
Yeah, she's pretty, curvaceous.
I just love the dialogue in this scene, it's so funny.
I actually like their costumes in the glory days. Mr. Incredible in the blue and black, and Elastigirl in the white and red.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but don't tell her to Edna Mode.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to Edna Mode.
If you look carefully, you can see that no one on the street is moving. I wonder why they didn't animate that. I know that they have crowd animation software since A Bug's Life.
Maybe the crowd was just so stunned at what was happening. They were so petrified in shock.
I was really surprised that
Pixar was going to call Bon Voyage Bon Perignon after the wine or something, but they couldn't get the rights to use it. But I like Bon Perignon better. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say that this Pixar doing anime movie where it featured all human characters, which doing a human is challenging enough because, according to the second disc of the DVD, Brad Bird said that we look at a human in the mirror every day and there are certain standards to them. It can't be disturbing, but at the same time it has to be believable. And Pixar really pulled that off.
Yeah. They sort of avoided focusing on humans, rather focusing on toys and fish and bugs, until they had the technology to really do humans realistically. And about the humans, if you look in the newsreel segment, Pixar created a standard sort of human character that they could mold and change a little bit so they would look slightly different. And they had to create a character that wouldn't be too distracting. So you've got Mr. Incredible with the exaggerated features, but then you've got the standard sort of character that doesn't distract from the other characters. It's really quite interesting. You can see examples of them in the newsreel segment.
something that really got me excited for this movie was the first teaser trailer, which they released together with Finding Nemo. This scene, which is not actually in the movie, where Mr. Incredible is called for help, and then he doesn't quite manage to put on his super suit because his belly is a bit larger than last time he wore it, and he just can't close his belt, and the belt flies all across the room and knocks over lights and stuff. It's really funny.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I think when I first saw the teaser trailer, that was the spark that really got me super excited for The Incredibles. And after watching the teaser trailer, I would watch it at least every single day, and I would always look up The Incredibles websites, look for featurettes, search for every information I can for watching the movie.
Hmm, so you're hooked right from the start then.
Mm-hmm.
This is Teddy Newton, a Pixarian, doing the newsreel voice. He's really good at doing those sort of voices from the 50s and 60s.
I think they really nailed this 60s retro look on this movie. It's you can see it in this scene in the beginning, in this sort of where they have a different aspect ratio for these short interviews, and also the design of the furniture and everything.
Isn't it meant to be like the 60s, the future as seen from the 60s, kind of like the Jetsons in a way?
Yeah. The movie does take place between, in the 60s and 70s, but there's a futuristic dash to it.
It's like if the 60s was now, sort of thing.
Right.
And they've got a lot of technology which we don't even have now, so maybe even later.
Jack was about to drink the soap right there.
I'm not sure if you guys know this, but Jack-Jack was actually voiced by two people.
Isn't it Eli Ficilli, mm-hmm. One of them?
Yes, and the other one was Maude Andrews, I believe. Mark Andrews' daughter, I think.
Oh, okay, so voiced by a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
These babies all sound alike anyway.
The coloring in Bob's office is so dull, I hate to work there.
Yeah, very muted.
And he's the worst boss anyone could imagine. Just a perfect example of a heartless bureaucrat who only thinks about money, 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 and money.
But Wallace Shawn did a really good job with voicing him.
He even looks like Wallace Shawn.
And also the German voice, comedian Herbert Feuerstein, he also is just a spitting image of Mr. Huff. It's really funny how these coincidences happen. It's like the character version of himself on the screen. And by the way, Feuerstein is German for Flint.
Yeah, that was a bit of a twinkie.
And Feuerstein's German for Flintstone, so with a name like that, I guess he was bound to end up in an animated film sooner or later.
The principal of Dash's elementary school is named John Walker, which happens to be the producer of The Incredibles. That was cool.
And Rick Dicker is named after Rick Sayer, I think, too.
If you guys were allowed to have one superpower, what would it be?
You mean from The Incredibles, or just any superpower?
Any superpower.
Probably, I don't know, to be invisible, because I'm a bit of a voyeuristic person, so, and I like seeing what others are up to, and just being able to be anonymous would be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, I think it would just be that one.
Let's see, I really don't know. Probably, this is kind of a weird power to have, but I would like to have the power to maybe multiply things. Like, let's say I have a dollar. Zoom, $10 right there.
Or 100.
That works too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've always wanted to be able to... Yeah, this isn't kind of a superpower either, but I'd want to speak every language in the world or play any instrument in the world, which is... I mean, who does that help? No one. It doesn't help any civilians at all, but... So, that's sort of a power I'd like to have, though. If we're talking about superpowers that are of no use to anyone except myself...
I don't know if any superhero has this power, but I'd like to have the power to slow down time, so I can, like, get more work done in an hour, and, like, be able to do 8 hours of work in 4 hours or something like that.
That's cool. Or you could, like, selectively speed up time.
Did I ever mention
that
Violet was... Go on, Hen. Which one?
Is his name... I think his name might be Rusty, I'm not sure.
Oh,
it was Rusty, the guy in the trike.
Like Rusty's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty is actually voiced by Brad Bird's son, Nicholas Bird, who voiced Squirt in Finding Nemo.
Yeah, he is so cute. I saw a photo of when he was 5, and he's just so adorable. He's probably like, I don't know, 12 now, though. You're going to say something about Violet?
Yeah, she's my first ever animated character crush. I love her. And I can relate to her a lot, too.
Ooh. Yeah, a lot of, guys really like Violet or Helen.
I kind of find it interesting that many people like to bash on The Incredibles because their superpowers are kind of similar to those of the Fantastic Four. And their stories are similar.
So who's meant to be who, then?
Well, Mr. Fantastic is Helen. The Thing, because he's super strong, is Mr. Incredible. The Invisible Woman is Violet. And, well, that only leads to Human Torch, but the closest thing that we can get to that is Jack-Jack.
Jack-Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't work, because there's 4 of them, and 5 of the Incredibles, so there you go. Brad Bird also said that the Incredibles characters were inspired by their role. So you've got Dash, he's the 8-year-old or however old he is. Lots of energy. Violet, the shrinking Violet, preteen. Helen trying to stretch and keep the family together, and so on. I mean, Frozone, he's as cool as ice.
And Bob Har's called on to be strong, to keep the family together, too.
Yeah. Yeah, support the family. And then we have unpredictable baby Jack-Jack.
This is, of course, one of the famous cliches about the superhero's nemesis, is that they always start monologuing and never giving the hero enough time to sort of save the day and defeat them. And, of course, they had to poke fun at this here. It's, of course, a nice setup for a scene later when Mr. Incredible confronts his nemesis. Although it, of course, never feels like a setup.
Have you guys watched Mr. Incredible and Pals? That's got to be one of my favorite short films. It's really funny.
With the bunny Mr. Skipper do?
Yeah. He's like Mr. Skipper do. He's just so unhelpful, but for some reason he is helpful. All he does is jump up and down.
Yeah, Mr. Incredible and Pals was funny, but the commentary with Frozone and Mr. Incredible in the back, that was even funnier.
Yeah. And what does Frozone say? He's like, why we got lady lips?
I think I can go for some cake right now.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. Did you see in the behind the scenes how I think it was Teddy Newton had to stuff his face with a really big slice of chocolate cake. Oh, that was so gross.
But it worked.
Yeah, I suppose so. Looked good, though.
I'm not sure if you guys noticed this, but while he was trying to sneak back into the house, and when he grabbed the cake, he was humming the tune, The Glory Days.
Yeah, that's so weird. I mean, he's humming a song to a movie, but he's in the movie. I mean, it sort of messes with my mind there. That's sort of like a running theme in the movie, not celebrating mediocrity and being special and what being special means.
The Incredibles have a really giant big screen TV, like in their family room. And let's see, in Gilbert's office, if you look behind Bob, you can see a little cactus plant of his head, Gilbert's head. I didn't notice that until I first got the DVD. I zoomed in and...
I can't wait till The Incredibles is released on Blu-ray, because there's so many... I really want to zoom in on the newspaper at the beginning and... see what that says.
Ow. I noticed that Pixar likes to go to people who work in their own studio to voice some of the characters, like Bud Lucky for Rick, Lou Romano for Bernie, John Walker for the priest, and a couple extra people for, yeah.
Probably because they're just so good at expressing, they're just creative people, so they know what works, and a lot of the time it's just scratch voices, but yeah, like with also Brad Bird, it just worked, so they left it.
Yes, I think in the case of Brad Bird, they even cast someone else to do the voice of Edna Mode, and then she said, no, what do you need before you already have it?
Mm-hmm. I heard that this thingy here, this flat screen tablet, was an inspiration for something to do with the Mac, or, I don't know, I read on Pixar Planet a year ago or so. Or maybe an iPhone?
Nah, I don't think it would be an iPhone, but it's cool, a little LCD screen.
It could have been for the Amazon, what is it? The Kindle from Amazon, if you've heard of that.
I don't think I have.
Hmm.
When I first saw Mirage, I sometimes wondered, what color hair did she have? Was it really, really blonde or white?
When I first saw Mirage, I thought, what ethnicity is she? I know her voice actor is Spanish, but... I think she's meant to be... Her ethnicity is meant to be as ambiguous as she is.
If you guys notice, before the message, or at least before Mr. Incredible was writing stuff down, he knocked over the lamp, and it would later lead on to the lamp shining onto his memorabilia on the wall.
Oh, that's neat. Gillette Skull. I want to know what that is.
I think that was Brad Bird's elementary school that he went to.
Okay.
If you guys look at Mirage's calling card, her phone number, it spells out superhero.
So, like, if you type it into the phone, that's what it says?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm surprised that he still fits in his old super suit.
Was it that super suit he tried on in the trailer, or was it the red one?
It was the red one, but the thing that he had a hard time getting on was his belt.
Yeah. Oh, well, later on it shows him, like, stretching up when he says showtime, and then it doesn't quite cover his stomach.
That was a little disturbing. The Manhattan Island looks like a really, really, really beautiful place. If it was real, I'd like to go there.
It makes me think of what Up is going to be like, because I haven't seen it yet. So I've always thought it was an idea of what Up would be like. If they set the whole movie there.
I hope I don't give anything away for you, but it's kind of close.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, I better not say anything. I don't know, don't want to spoil it for Totoro, but I know it's meant to be set there.
I think this episodes which they released, for example, the one with the snipe trap, I think they look sort of close to this. Although, of course, with the technology improvement and everything, much better than what they managed to pull off here, but it still looks pretty great for a, what is it, 5-year-old movie?
Yeah, almost 5 years.
I remembered when I first saw the movie, when my parents, when the Omnidroid first popped out of nowhere, I just jumped out of my seat and, oh my god, I was so scared.
That's a pretty smart robot. It's a learning robot. I mean, rule number one, don't make it so that robots can learn, because then they'll outsmart you.
So much for the "I made you, I can also destroy you" phrase.
Yeah, exactly.
It was actually pretty intense for one of the first fight scenes.
Yeah, always cringe a bit, just as it's going to fall into the lava.
I don't know, I guess I expected something quick and right to the point, but that was a little unexpected for me.
But they still have to have these little bits of humor, like when Mr. Incredible suddenly twists his back or something.
Yeah, bringing the mundane robot and the fantastic together.
So while Mr. Incredible might be all brawn, he's also got some brains in him. I mean, he outsmarted the Omnidroid by letting it destroy itself.
You should really know who that villain is going to be because of Buddy, but every time I watch The Incredibles, I'm always a little bit surprised.
When I first saw The Incredibles and when I first saw Buddy, I thought that he kind of looked a little close to like Syndrome. But I couldn't figure it out until I saw him. I gotta say that I do like his haircut.
Yeah, sort of like a flame, a bit, for a redhead.
He's got power.
Matches the volcano.
This part of the movie can get anyone smiling.
Yeah, so happy. Everything's on the up for Mr. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Good marriage, happy kids.
A job that he loves. What more could you want?
Yeah. A challenging job.
That pays well, too.
Getting in shape.
Let's see. The Parr family lives in Metroville, and Metroville is just, You guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Metroville is a combination between Metropolis and, what's that? Smallville from Superman.
Oh, okay. I like it when Edna says, go check the electric fence or something.
It's so funny how someone her size has so much power and can make even the mightiest of supers feel powerless. My favorite line from her is, my God, you've gotten fat. Well, at least he gained.
Yeah, good
he lost
contrast
a little
there.
Weight.
Yeah, he's not even fat.
Well, he got a little big, but
it's muscle.
Was Edna's house kind of inspired by Greek architecture, or is it a mixture of a couple of things?
I think that's right. You can just see Lou Romano designed it. Probably one of the best sets in The Incredibles.
I wish they built this as a real house.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd give anything to live in there. I've got to say that, for superheroes, out of everything on their outfit, the cape is the thing that really attracts me the most to them. Almost every superhero I like had capes. Superman, Batman, Robin, I never thought that it'd be such a hazard for superheroes.
Oh, well, apparently so.
This might be coincidental, but...
Yeah, the cape does look cool.
This might be coincidental, but everyone that died from the cape malfunction attended Bob and Helen's wedding. You could see him in the back.
Oh, no. The kiss of death.
Edna was also at the wedding, I think.
Yeah, her, Rick, and Gazerbeam were there as well.
Wasn't, like, Snug meant to have died in a... as well? I don't know how he died, though.
Snug?
Yeah.
According to Brad, he was supposed to be the original pilot and have Syndrome kill him during missile lock, but they had to take him out and let Helen fly the plane because we had to introduce Snug and let the audience know more about him before you can kill him, or else his death would be, you know, nothing.
Yeah, I don't think they had enough time to develop his character in the film.
I think missile lock was done a lot better with Helen as the pilot, though. One of my favorite scenes in The Incredibles.
Yeah, she makes for a really good pilot. She's a really intense scene and great voice acting. So is No Man Is Sand meant to be like No Man Is an Island or something? I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, I got something in my notes here. Let me go find it first. It's the name of a poem, I think, but I don't remember.
Oh. Well, that would probably make more sense. At 1:13.
What was that?
I just said A113.
Oh, yeah. A113 gets
before
yeah,
I used
mentioned
to...
twice.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was A113. That's how I'd read it. But then it's not until someone pointed out that they say A113. In this.
I sometimes wonder how much money superheroes make and how do they get paid. Is it, like, by the job? Like, depending on how serious or how big the job is, that's how much they get paid?
Yeah, maybe, like, on a scale or something. By the government, I guess. They used to be employed by the government?
Because Edna is a superhero fashion designer, and look where she lives. She's mega rich.
I think she was also became a fashion designer after the Incredibles had to go into hiding. She just became a normal fashion designer, so they can get pretty rich. Both Mr. Incredible and Syndrome are meant to be modeled after Brad Bird. I can see it.
It took me a while, but I still can't see it, though.
Hmm. Well, in, with Bob Parr, definitely.
Originally, the main antagonist of The Incredibles was going to be some character named Zarek, but then Brad Bird decided to switch to Syndrome because, for originality story reasons, I mean, like, how would Robin feel if he was rejected by Batman? Kind of an interesting plot.
So what would Zarek have just been like a generic sort of bad guy, just for the sake of it?
Probably. I gotta say, Syndrome's supersuit looks... Sorry, go ahead.
I like how they gave Syndrome a backstory. He's not just bad, for the sake of it, but it's coming from a place of rejection and hurt. That's why he's like that.
I love his outfit and his gadgets, though. Syndrome's one of those characters that I actually...
All self-made.
Syndrome's one of those characters that I absolutely despise because his character's so evil, but because he's got all the cool stuff, I like him. And Jason Lee did a really, really good job with his character, making him both laughable but scary at the same time.
Yeah, he's sort of like a geeky antagonist, in a way, but powerful.
Yes,
he's,
probably...
He sort of reminds me of a teenager. Oh, sorry?
Yeah, he's probably one extreme end of this obsessive fanboy spectrum. And on the other end, you could probably see Po from Kung Fu Panda, who's a really nice guy, but also completely geeking out about Kung Fu and everything.
I think Mr. Incredible's rejection of Buddy was a bit harsh, though. So that's why I can sympathize with Buddy. I mean, Syndrome.
The Incredibles was the first Pixar film to receive a PG rated rating because of all the violence and implied death. So I was pretty surprised that Pixar actually tackled something like this. I thought it might be a little too intense for the younger kids.
Yeah, I think this is a movie for kids 8 and over. One of the first real Pixar adult films. So, who is everyone's favorite character in The Incredibles?
My top five goes in this order: Violet, Helen, Bob, Dash, and Jack-Jack. What about you guys?
Well, it's really hard to pick because there's so many great characters in this movie, but I think Violet and Mr. Incredible, and also Syndrome, because it's, as the movie villains go, really so such a great character, and especially because of the change which was mentioned, that they just used him as the main hero, someone with this interesting backstory.
I'd say that my favorite character is E. And a lot of the reviews that The Incredibles got, they said that Brad Bird found a new type of character in E that had never been done before.
What about you, Rachel?
I like Mirage because she's so mysterious and you don't know much about her. Yeah, I just like her as a character because of that.
I'm going to take you guys back a little bit. Remember the homing device that E gave to Helen when Helen touched the button?
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, it actually zoomed right up to Pixar Animation Studios, Emeryville.
Yeah, I think you told me that when I was writing up the Pixar in-jokes list, and then you first told me that on the forum, so that's pretty cool. I never would have known that before. Because I don't really know what California looks like, the coast.
Yeah, they use a lot of maps of California in The Incredibles. So we can imply that, yeah, they zoom in on Emeryville and the homing device that E gives Helen. And in the beginning of the movie, where Bob was in the Incredibule and he was chasing down the police car, it zoomed in on a part of Northern California near San Francisco by the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, San Pablo Avenue. Yeah. They actually named a couple streets like San Pablo Avenue, which is actually a real street in Northern California.
I think some of the street names were named after Pixarians too, if I remember correctly.
Probably.
So what was Mr. Incredible planning to do here with that statue?
Probably create a barrier between the lava, hoping that it won't melt, and he just runs across. Any guys fans of X-Men?
No.
Okay, because this computer thing that Bob Parr just sneaked into is probably one of the... It's kind of like a room that one of the X-Men has in their mansion. It's called Cerebro. Okay.
Yes, indeed, looks kind of similar.
Well, we got to talk about the music. Kronos Unveiled is one of my favorite tracks on the Incredible soundtrack. I just would listen to it over and over when I first got into the soundtrack. There's just something a bit sad that I find about the song, and I can't really pinpoint why, just an overwhelming sadness. But I also really like Missile a lot. That would be my other favorite, too.
Kronos Unveiled is, it starts out really, really quiet on a piano, and then it gradually crescendos until it gets really, really loud. And at the climax, that's when Helen finally figures out that Bob has been lying behind her back.
Yeah, Michael Giacchino does a lot of songs where he gradually builds up or builds upon a theme, slowly. He does it with, Marital Rescue too.
Yes, especially the end part of Marital Rescue, when you, have this really, bombastic sound as you finally see the airplane. It's, really well done.
Yeah.
The whole soundtrack is just like, amazing.
Mm.
I really wish that we could have seen more Edna Mode after this. Her character was so great.
If you compare Violet's hair to Edna's hair, you can really see the difference. Violet doesn't have black hair. It looks quite blue.
Violet. Oh, sorry, what were you going to say?
That's all I was going to say.
The hair's so shiny. I think I had trouble with the hair at the beginning, initially.
Yeah, the hair was probably the hardest things that Pixar could ever animate, because it's so wild and there's a million of them on the top of the head. And it brought The Incredibles like down for a little bit. Until they finally found a way to figure out how to simulate her hair.
You can see the really funny blunders in the Incredible Blunders on the extras DVD. But yeah, that should totally bring back Edna for a sequel.
I think Brad Bird did a really interesting choice of picking Violet's voice actor to be Sarah Vowell when she had really no acting experience whatsoever. But she did a good job portraying as a gloomy, shy teenager.
I think Sarah Vowell was in her 20s, and Violet is meant to be 14?
13 or 14. The jet that Helen's flying, India Golf 999, is reference to Brad Bird's movie Iron Giant that was made in 1999. I didn't get that until I saw it on IMDb.
I've always wondered why Helen... Someone else brought this up too. Why Helen needs to go into the bathroom to change when she thinks she's alone on the plane.
You know, I never thought of that.
Could be just out of habit, like when you lock the bathroom door, even though you're alone.
When I saw The Incredibles in theaters, this scene right here really scared the living hell out of the kids. Because you don't see supervillains torturing the main character a lot.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think this is a movie for really young kids anyway.
Holly Hunter did a great job with the... Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say that it's that same thing as you. Her voice acting is so intense.
And she really studied the terminology for flying the plane, which made the scene even more intense. I like Holly Hunter. She's one of my favorite actresses.
Because you know what she's talking about?
A little bit. I had to watch it over and over again to understand. Here's an interesting stat for you guys. I read this on IMDb. In the entire movie, there are a total of 35 explosions, 189 buttons being pressed, and approximately 640 gunshots throughout the entire movie.
I always thought it was more explosions. I think I told someone that there was 80. But, I like the buttons and doors, secret Easter egg. It's really good, the editing on that.
Watching Buttons and Doors kind of inspired me to start making music videos. Fan-made videos.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it does seem like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work, too.
Yeah, especially going through the whole movie, trying to see which would be appropriate for your videos, which segments, I imagine.
Yeah. Sometimes I have a plan, like I pre-plan it before I start taking clips, but it gets hard and frustrating sometimes.
And then there's only so many combinations you can make of from the same movie without sort of repeating yourself.
Yeah. The cave scene happens to be one of my most favorite scenes in the entire movie because the Helen and Violet moment, that was really one of the most powerful and touching scenes that I've ever seen in a Pixar movie. When I saw it in theaters, I saw almost every mom and daughter in the theater crying with each other.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to point out... Oh, sorry, go on.
I think this shot when she puts on her mask, just these few seconds, really my favorite moments in our movie. It's somehow it feels so powerful.
You were going to say something, Rachel?
Yeah, a lot of people like Violet as a character because of her progression throughout the movie, but I can't really say I've really been connected to her as a character, but I understand why. Maybe
I'll
some
admit,
sort of inspiration for people.
I'll admit that I kind of connect with her. Before I saw the movie, I was really, really shy, and one of my biggest fears was girls, and then after watching the movie, I kind of progressed into a more outgoing person, found my outlet, and yeah, not so shy anymore.
That's cool. I can't say I've ever heard of a Pixar film having that sort of impact on anyone before.
So cool, the number of ways she can stretch and contort her body.
Yeah, I like when she goes against the wall there. That just looks really cool from an animation point of view. So, are any of you guys fans of James Bond and movies like that, where The Incredibles is sort of modeled on?
Let's see. I wasn't into James Bond in the earlier movies. I started getting into James Bond when Pierce Brosnan was playing 007. But yeah, I like James Bond. I haven't seen his latest movie, Quantum of Solace, but I've yet to see it.
I don't think he's in that one, but yeah, that's the latest James Bond one, I think. I can't really say I am a fan of James Bond, but I like Austin Powers. Does that count?
I didn't see Austin Powers, but I guess it could.
Oh, you should. It's really funny. The first and second one. And the music is very similar, too.
Do you guys think Helen is left-handed?
Helen is what, sorry?
Left-handed.
Oh, I'm trying to play through everything, and I don't think so.
I always thought cartoon characters are ambidextrous.
From this scene, you could probably say that she's left-handed.
Kind of nice how she was able to take out 5 guards right after she got stuck in, like, 3 doors.
Yeah. Without even, like, breaking a sweat as well. Shows how in control she is compared to the kids later on when they fight the guards. I always wonder what would have happened to the guards after they were locked in the locker, because no one would probably know they were there. I mean, my mind just sort of wanders to weird stuff like that.
Another A113.
Yes, second time in the movie.
And I think when Helen was lowering her head upside down, down to the inside the room, I think that was a reference to Spider-Man.
The scene up in space when the rocket splits in two, this looks really remarkable. Also with the music, like a similar scene from one of the James Bond movies.
Yeah, and it's sort of like maybe that's the scene that made Pixar think we should do a space movie. And it reminds me of the beginning of Toy Story 2 when they're in space as well.
I think The Incredibles is the only movie where they actually went everywhere they could possibly go. They went up in space, mm-hmm. underwater, inside a building, inside
jungle.
Suburbs. They went everywhere. I was really impressed with the 100-mile dash, but I was really, really hoping that they could have given Violet one of her own scenes. Like, Helen had life or death, Dash had a 100-mile dash. And I was really wishing that Violet could have had at least, I don't know, maybe a couple minutes to herself fighting a bad guy or something.
She did have when she was underwater, sort of, hiding.
Yeah, but I felt like that was a little too short. I don't know, maybe next time.
I really hope they do a sequel. I mean, the characters are just so human and fleshed out, and you really know them. So, just such well-developed characters that it's a shame to not do a sequel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Would you want a sequel, TSS?
Yeah, most definitely. Have we had this conversation before?
Yeah, it does ring a bell.
For me, this is also the most sequel-worthy of all Pixar films. I'd say would have liked The Incredibles 2 much more than Toy Story 3. So, maybe later.
Yeah, or Cars 2.
Cars 2, I think it's kind
you
of...
You can't tell, I'm still a bit miffed.
Doesn't The Velocipods kind of reminds you of something from Star Wars. I don't know, it just does for some reason.
You mean like Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't seen it in a long time, but for some reason every time I watch 100 Mile Dash, I always think of Star Wars when I see those Velocipods.
I think it's the forest that makes it similar.